brought to you by Penguin.
Small Bomb at Dimpley by Lissa Evans. Read by Lucy Briers. Chapter 1. From Prosser's Companion to Buckinghamshire, published 1908. Dimpley Manor may be described as lacking in architectural harmony, though its mongrel elements are nonetheless pleasing to the eye. At its heart is an early Tudor fortified house of roseate brick, with stone battlement copings and half-timbered projecting bays. The building originally sported six turrets, but a third of it was pulled down in the 1700s, the moat partially filled in, the courtyards roofed over, and a neo-Palladian dower wing, originally somewhat severe in aspect, until the addition of a lavish high Victorian Gothic façade, added to the west side and linked to the Tudor building by a tunnel. The latter is purportedly the setting for N.J. Larbey's famously gruesome ghost story, What Was Down There?, written after the author had visited the manor in 1890. A later and perhaps more architecturally successful addition was the Indian-style two-story east wing, built in sandstone in the 1820s, topped with a large copper Mughal dome and extending on one side into a long curved orangery, ending in an octagonal library. A hedge of topiary elephants enhances the theme. Dimpley Manor's extensive gardens contain numerous mid-century follies, including a gated hermit's hollow and a 60-foot freestanding tower decorated with a trio of carved wyvern. The house stands in a fold of the Chilterns southeast of Aylesbury and is home to the Vere Thissett family, who were granted the land in 1404 after rendering an unspecified service to the king. The family holds the hereditary office of High Woodsman, with the requirement that the senior male must attend each coronation in order to present a beech log, no shorter than 3 ells, 9 bundles of brushwood, and a bushel of hazelnuts to the new monarch. It was only at the coronation of Queen Victoria that this tradition was left out of the ceremony. Henry Vere Thissett, High Woodsman at the time, was created a baronet by way of compensation. His grandson Sir Greville Vere Thissett was an amateur taxidermist of some distinction. Pollux usually did his business at the foot of the Wyvern Tower, although he sometimes preferred to wait until he reached the obelisk, a basalt spike erected by the first baronet in memory of his favourite wife. In the old days, and before Castor had succumbed to distemper, the dogs would have been followed at a distance by the oddman with a shovel. But since there was no longer an oddman, nor a boot boy, nor a stable lad, nor even an under-gardener, it was nowadays necessary for Irene, Lady Vere Thissett, accompanied on the morning walk as always by her middle son Cedric, to carry with her a small velvet drawstring bag. It contained sawdust, which she would sprinkle on the offending pile, clearly marking it for later disposal. It was the kind of inconvenience that, until recently, she had chosen to view as part of the war effort, but since the war was now over, it had become yet another painful reminder of irrevocable change. On this particular August morning, the early warmth promising a day of great heat, the sky the colour of the celeste ceiling in the orangery, Pollux deviated from his usual route and left a second deposit on the great lawn, and it was some moments before Irene could spot its location amidst a shockingly long grass, blistered with dandelion clocks. "Eppel says the petrol mower's broken a blade," her daughter-in-law had reported last week, "and he can't use a scythe because of his lumbago, and he says it would be easier to mow if the washing line posts came up, but he'd need the crowbar for that, and it's currently being used to prop up the roof of the shell grotto." Why there need be talk of a servants' trade union when they had Barbara to act as their champion seemed a mystery. The washing
sample complete. Ready to continue?